This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Joining us now on the D&M Leasing Hotline is ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. He is joining us today to talk about a cause that is very close to his heart, which is early screening of type 1 diabetes ahead of T1D Day on April 15th. We're going to get into that with him. But we're also going to talk a little bit about the NFL draft, Micah Parsons, Aaron Rodgers, Tush Push, lots of topics that we're going to get into here with Adam Schefter. Adam, thanks so much for joining us today.
Bobby, RJ, how you doing today?
We're fantastic. So first question, I just want to kind of jump off the Brian Schottenheimer hire that occurred this offseason for the Dallas Cowboys. What was your initial reaction to that? Were you surprised by the hire yourself? What do you think the league reaction was to that, and how prepared he is for this job?
Well, it was a Friday night, and I remember my phone ringing, and it happened to be Jerry Jones. And he starts going off about how Brian Schottenheimer's always been an assistant coach. He's always going to be an assistant coach, but you know, and he goes on and on about Brian Schottenheimer, the assistant coach, and he stops, he pauses, he goes, but you know what? Brian Schottenheimer's an assistant coach no more. He's now the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And that was a big moment for Brian Schottenheimer, a big moment for the Dallas Cowboys. Might have surprised some people, but it certainly sounded like that was the way Jerry was going all along, and he just made it official that night, got the deal done. They figured out the numbers. And now Brian Schottenheimer is, in fact, as Jerry Jones said that night, the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Is that normal for an owner to call you to break that news, or is that not?
It's always welcome. It's always encouraged. It's always invited. So anytime an owner wants to call to give me the news of their hiring of a head coach, I invite them all to call anytime.
You don't have to two-source that one.
Yeah, nope.
Exactly. That's set up that one. When you look at specifically the reaction to it, because there was a lot of, like you mentioned, he's had as much preparation as possible. I'm sure you've had interactions with Brian Schottenheimer over the years, just as long as he's been in the league. It seems like there's kind of a changing sense, at least from fans here in Dallas, of like, all right, maybe we're willing to give this a shot. He seems to be saying the right things. He seems to be building a strong staff. Is there a case to be made that a guy like Schottenheimer, who's been in the Jets, been around the game for as long as he has, is probably better prepared to deal with all the things that come with Dallas than even other guys who have head coaching experience?
Well, he's been around so long, and he grew up the son of a head coach. He knows how this works, and I know it's a different day and age, and I know we're talking about media presence being as large as it's ever been, and social media playing a larger role, and certainly Marty Schottenheimer didn't have to deal with social media, but coaching football is coaching football. You know, and Brian grew up at the lap of his father. He's watched all of this for years. He's watched this longer than most head coaches have been around the sport. So I can't imagine that doesn't serve him well over time.
Talk with Adam Schefter here from ESPN. The NFL draft just days away. I'm curious, before we get to anything specific about the Cowboys on the draft, what is your overall take on the way things are setting up with the top 10? We've heard a lot about the Cam Ward potential with the Titans, or would the Titans potentially trade off? Seems like there's some growing buzz about Travis Hunter at number 2, the question of where Shedeur Sanders falls. What's kind of the story to you as we head into the draft?
Well, I think it will be where Shedeur Sanders winds up going, because it certainly feels like Cam Ward's going to go number 1. More and more recently, it has felt like Travis Hunter's definitely square in play at number 2. We'll see if the Browns go in that direction ultimately, because for a while it seemed like they might be quarterback, then it might be Abdul Carter. Now, it's a case where basically they've got a situation where, you know, it might be now Travis Hunter too. And then that's the question of where Shador winds up going. And I think when we look at it and survey the landscape, I think it's 9 is in play, the New Orleans Saints. I think Pittsburgh, 21 is in play. I think we could see a team trade back up to get in there. So there are a few options. But to me, those are the places that he could go.
How long before the draft or how far out does that kind of silly season, you know, kind of end where you start to buy things that you're hearing versus this is just talking? We're trying to posture to have a player, have a market drop or rise on a player.
Well, I think it's always going on. Like, again, I mentioned the Cleveland Browns for a while. There were a lot of people around the league that thought they were going quarterback. Then they thought they were going Abdul Carter. Now the feeling is it's Travis Hunter, and we'll see where they ultimately settle in. And I've said this to players over the years, you know, in the lead up to the draft, over time, players are a little bit like stocks. You see a stock go up, you see them go down. Maybe not as dramatic as the stock market these days.
Yeah,
but,
<right. laughs>
but you're seeing player stock rise and fall over nothing. And that's what happens. You know, like a player's hot or his value is rising, and then sometimes it sinks. Sometimes it keeps rising. Sometimes it's sinking all along. Like, you know, when we started this, it felt like Shador Sanders was the top-rated quarterback. So I guess you could say his stock has dropped some, but he's still going to be a one. He's still going to be a high pick. He's still going to be probably the second quarterback pick. But, you know, I would have thought all year long he would have been number one, and something changed along the way.
Adam Schefter joining us here, 105 through the Fan. We are maddened by how the Cowboys seem to operate. They just operate at their own pace. They look at the market their own way. What is the talk around the league about how the Cowboys do business with their contracts and stuff?
I think there's probably a lot more talk within Dallas about how the Cowboys operate than there is across the league. I think people across the league are kind of concerned about their own jobs. They've got enough to worry about without having to worry about how another team operates. Everybody's always paying attention to Dallas. There's always more eyeballs on the Cowboys because they're the Cowboys, but I don't know that it's like people saying, well, what are they doing? You know, if we're going to look at it last offseason, yeah, I think people felt like they should have done CD and Dak sooner, but they didn't, and they got them done. And now I guess you're leading up to Micah Parsons, and, you know, him and Jerry, Micah and Jerry were having conversations, and it certainly sounded like they were getting closer to a deal, but the agent wasn't involved, and now the agent's going to be involved, as an agent is on these deals of that magnitude. So that deal may get done sooner than Dax or CDs, and we'll see how it all works out.
How often in your experience with dealing with things around the league, we talked about, were there a lot of hurt feelings with Todd France, for instance, on Dax's last contract negotiation? And is that why maybe that was a tough negotiation, things like that? Do things ever get a little more like, I don't like this agent or I don't like this front office, and so I'm going to be a little tenser? Or do they generally just say, this is business and we're going to approach it that way?
I think both. I think sometimes agents rub teams the wrong way. Teams rub agents the wrong way. That happens. I don't know if that, you know, maybe that happened on the Dak deal. I don't know. But that's a natural that's the job of an agent, is to kind of extract the best deal, which goes against what the team wants. So inevitably, there's going to be disagreements between those two sides. It's almost set up for them not to agree. And that's just a byproduct of the way the system is. But I don't think that's unusual. Like, we could go through any big contract negotiation. You think the Bengals were really pleased with Rocky Arsenault, who represent? I don't think so. So, you know, that's just the way it kind of operates.
Do you anticipate, obviously there are
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find The Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At a standstill right now, do you think that you would anticipate, say, hey, just like other deals that the Cowboys have done in the past, Micah Parsons would probably by week one, they'd say, let's just go ahead and wrap this up? Or is it just too unpredictable given where things are at right now?
No, I would say that eventually both sides will figure that deal out and get it done. That would be my guess. There's so much money involved, and you know, Dallas is going to want to keep him. He's going to want to stay. You know, I'm sure, like, when you're talking about $40+ million a year or whatever the number is, you know, why are you ever stepping foot on a football field until that deal is done? So to me, they'll figure out a way to get that done because the stakes are just too great not to.
Adam, Bobby is he's anti-tush-push. He wants that thing banned. I'm cool with it. I would like to see the Lions playoff seeding proposal pass through and the change. Is either likely to happen?
Yeah, well, I think the tush-push is on the way out. I think that when they table that, it's just a setup to get more votes to be able to overturn it and change the language on it so that I don't think you'll see the tush-push in the National Football League in 2025. That's my guess as we go into the May meeting in Minneapolis. The playoff seeding, it just seems like that's very extreme, and not to say it can't happen, that would surprise me more. Like I said, the tush-push is on the way out. The playoff seeding, I think there's probably a lot more work there to be done before any decisions are made.
Before we get into this outreach that you're doing, trying to get people screened, I'm curious your thoughts on what the Cowboys are looking at as they head into the draft. They've got the 12th pick, a lot of uncertainty ahead of them. Where do you think they are targeting right now, whether it be just a position or if maybe there's a couple players that stand out?
Well, I think when you're the Dallas Cowboys, you've got to find a way to somehow come up with a cornerback, another cornerback, because there are some questions there. I think that they certainly could use another running back, as everybody knows, and it's a deep running back draft. So this is the right draft to need a running back. And I still think they'll add a wide receiver by the time draft weekend comes and goes. So those, to me, are three positions that stand out. They're far from the only ones. Certainly they could use another offensive lineman. Certainly they could use more defensive line. Like, you could use help everywhere, let's be honest. But if I'm looking at three positions that stand out to me, corner, running back, wide receiver.
Week one of next year, is Rodgers in the league?
I would think so, yeah. My guess would be that Aaron Rodgers is in the league, but you know, everybody's waiting on his answer, and we'll see what he ultimately decides. But right now, the only opportunity is in Pittsburgh. I'm sure he would have liked it if Minnesota had opened up. Maybe in time it still will. But right now, Pittsburgh is the one opportunity, and I would think that eventually the two sides will figure out a way to get that done.
April 15th, it's not just tax day, it's also T1D day, and I know this is something that's very important to you, early screening for type 1 diabetes. Talk to us a little bit about what you're doing today.
Yeah, my wife, Shari, is a type 1 diabetic, and obviously I see firsthand what it's like for her to manage this disease. And so what we would like people to do is talk to their doctor about type 1 diabetes and ask them about screening. You know, screening, an unexpected type 1 diabetes diagnosis can have serious impact. So if you have more time to prepare, that can make a big difference. And that's why we believe screening for type 1 is so important. If you can do it early, it gives you valuable time to preparing. Yeah, I've been engaged by Sanofi to deliver the message, but it's really important when I get to watch my wife on a daily basis. Early information is currency. That's how I make my living. Getting information. And I want people to do the same thing when it comes to their health, so they can just go visit screen4type1.com to learn more. That's screen4type1.com to learn more. And I appreciate you guys asking about that ahead of April 15th.
Absolutely. Coming up here in just under a week, and the NFL draft coming up here shortly, where you'll see Adam Schefter all over TV on ESPN covering it. Adam, thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Bobby, RJ, I appreciate having me today. Thank you very much.